We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Woo-hoo. Bailey. How are you this morning, sister?
I'm blessed. Already having a good time in the Lord.
Aren't we, though?
I know. If everybody could just come here and be with us, okay?
Right.
Experience it, yeah.
I think we need to get a speaker outside and put some chairs in the lawn, you know?
That'd be nice.
And open the window so they can kind of peek in and see, you know?
That sounds great.
Right on.
I'm with you.
And maybe do some s'mores because we want some more of the Lord.
Oh, yes. I like that. Mm.
If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send that three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. Thank you, Tina.
Working together.
I think I covered it all.
Amen.
Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be here today. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to just come together. God, knowing that where two or more are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst of them. And so, Father, we come here today to just really just seek your face, to hear from you. And Father, we just want your heart. God, we want to know your heart. Father, we want a revelation of your heart. Father, we want to really just lean in to your heart. Lay on your heart, Father. Know you. Just know the very intimate places of you. Father, we want to come as close as we can on this side. God, we are one with you. And Father, we can know you as deeply as you can be known because it's through the Spirit. And so, Father, today we just ask you to unveil yourself to us today. Father, that you would just begin to bring a revelation of yourself to us today. God, that you would begin to let us hear the heartbeat of you. And Father, I just pray that you would open, just like Sister, we prayed earlier, but Father, we just pray that every heart, every eye, every ear be opened. And God, today we just invite you in this place. Father, we're trusting in you. We're looking to you. And Holy Spirit, we're just leaning on you today, knowing that you have the word. I thank you, Father, that you're the one who prepares. Father, we're just the vessels who are the messengers. We release it, but you prepared it. And so, Father, today I ask for that prepared bread, that fresh bread. I just see it as like smoking. It's hot. It's just the steam's coming up off of it. And so, Father, we're just looking at it, and we're ready to eat of it, God, today. Father, we thank you that it is not only good, but, God, it will provide nourishment for us, and it will cause transforming work to be done in us. And so, Father, we just pray that every word that goes forth today will be your seed sown in the hearts of your people, producing and bearing, bring forth hundredfold of your word, God. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I like your title, Heart of the Father.
Heart of the Father. There's nothing I love more. It's just, I have prayed and prayed and prayed for years now to have the heart of the Father. He desires that. We know David was a man after God's own heart. And so we know that he even says in his word that he would give us pastors or shepherds after his own heart. You know, that is his desire. And so I just pray all the time. I say, God, I want your heart. And and sometimes I've been in places where they'll say, come up and pray and they'll ask you what you want prayed for. And I'll say, well, I want the I want the Father's heart. And they'll say, well, you already have that. And they don't understand that I'm saying, no, I want his heart. I want to know his heart. And so I'm trying to change that to explain that better. I want to know the Father's heart. I don't want to just, I know I already have his heart. His heart is for us. And the Bible says if he's for us, who could ever be against us? So we have that, but I want to know it. I want to know his heart. And I don't want to just know it. I want to live in that place where his heart is emanating from my life. Because I believe that we have the truth and the truth sets free. But if you just have truth and you don't get it from the Father's heart, you just have a portion. And so I'm always asking the Father, Father, bring forth your truth from your heart. It needs to proceed from the Father's heart. And if it proceeds from the Father's heart, then people can begin to grab a hold and get the revelation of who the Father is. In fact, I almost called this the revelation of the Father's heart, because I believe anytime we get the Father's heart, we get the truth, but we get the revelation of the Father's heart in the truth. And so I think a lot of times we miss it. We get the truth and we run with it, and it becomes the very thing we stand on and we fight with, and we do all kinds of stuff with the truth. But we need the revelation of the Father's heart in the midst of the truth. So that's what we're getting in today. So I want to jump into John 13:23. I love the book of John. It is one of those books that is my favorite. I mean, I remember even when I first got saved, one of the men of God in my life, he said, Tammy, start with the book of John. And I've just always heard this. People say, start with the book of John. And I never quite got it, but God began to give me a revelation. And he said, Tammy, John had something. John grabbed a hold of something. And so I want us to look at something here. John chapter 13, verse 23, this is at the Last Supper, okay? And we see John leaning on the bosom of Christ, and this is what it says. It says, now there was leaning on Jesus's bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And we're not going to go through the whole story. I want you to grab a hold of that verse right there, that John was the one disciple who leaned on the Lord's bosom. When you lean on someone's chest, you can feel their heartbeat. You know, you can begin to hear their heartbeat. If you listen and get quiet enough, you can actually hear the heartbeat. And so I believe John was tapping into something. Nobody else leaned on Christ's bosom but John. And so John, I believe, has the heart of the Father. See, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, Jesus was the expression of the Father. Just like you put a seed in the ground, and that seed might grow up and become a plant that begins to bloom flowers. The flowers are the expression of the plant. And so Jesus is the expression of the Father. He is. Is the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, but they have different parts in what they operate or how they express themselves. And so I've heard it also like this, like that a river has a source, okay, where it begins from. And so I've even heard it like God is the source and Jesus is the flow, okay? Mm-hmm. And you begin to see he emanates from the Father, okay? He was not created, he was begotten. And so he comes from the Father. And so I believe that John tapped into something. He tapped into the expression of God. He tapped into the heart of the Father. He gets the heartbeat of the Father. And so let me say it this way. A lot of times when I've read the Old Testament, for example, you know, when you get into the Old Testament, what it's doing is it's actually, it's speaking of all that is to come. It's prophesying of the Christ that is to come, prophesying of the revelations that are coming. Okay. But when you get into the new covenant, you begin to look back at Christ and what he revealed. Okay. So they're all pointing back to Christ. However, when we look at the, I guess the Old Testament, if you want to say it, we need to see something here that God wants us to understand. And I think it just brings light so that we can grab a hold of what God is really trying to show us in this hour. So I want to look at, let's in fact turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let me say it this way. A lot of times when you read from the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament really, which is the Old Covenant as well, it's all under the Old Covenant, we see, I like the way one of our men of God from the church puts it. The men and women from the Old Testament are really getting the truth, but they're releasing it I guess you'd say they're releasing it from the flesh, okay? In the sense that they're revealing how they receive the truth into to share it with us. However, you got to remember something here. Something has not changed in the Old Covenant people. Now, 100% the Old Covenant and the Bible, the Old Testament, is vital to the entirety of the Word of God. It has its place. But something is shifting when Jesus comes on the scene. So I want to look at this. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we know because when you get down further down, it begins to reveal that Jesus was the Word. When you look in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we see that he's talking about Jesus here. Jesus in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Okay. And so what we see here is I love this because John, when you get the heart of the Father, man, John is showing a picture of something here. We know that he begins this whole book just like Genesis begins, right? In the beginning, right? And so we hear in John, he says, in the beginning. But these are two different beginnings. John is revealing something. I believe he had caught the heart of the Father, and he was unveiling something by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created, right? Genesis shows us the beginning of creation. Okay, as we know it, everything that we know of creation was beginning. Genesis shows that, the beginnings of creation. However, John is tapping into something different. In the beginning was the Word, okay? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now go on to verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God, okay? Now grab a hold of this. In the beginning, God created. Genesis says in the beginning, he created everything. But verse 2 tells us, the same was in the beginning with God. So we know that Jesus was with God when creation was taking place. Now, I want you to tap into this. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he was a part of creation. So what you can say is that John is opening up a revelation here. He's saying in the beginning, everything that was created by Christ. Jesus was a part of the creation. However, what we're seeing is in Genesis, it was the beginning of creation. But John is unveiling the beginning of a new creature. He's unveiling a new species. Okay, he's saying something else is changing here. There's a new creation taking place, but it is a spiritual creation. See, we're going to begin to see that Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's going to open the door. We're going to have the ability to come in and be born again as spirit. God is spirit, and those born of him must be born again as spirit. And so we're seeing the new creation. But what you need to grab a hold of it is that the new creation was before the beginning of the earth and the creation of mankind. Okay. He's taking us back to the source of creation. Okay. And so let's dig a little deeper. So in him was life. In who? In Christ. In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay. So the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay. Darkness means that you can't see. When you go into a dark room, you can't see. You turn on a light, and then lo and behold, you can see. In fact, it pushes out the darkness, which is what I love about light. Light expels darkness. So let me say it this way. The more light you get, the more the darkness leaves. Okay? Now I want you to put this in the spiritual picture. Okay? Anytime we're not understanding things, anytime we're walking in darkness, living in darkness, all you need is the light. Do you understand that? That's why we can call on Christ. That's why we can receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and darkness begins to flee. Now, that doesn't mean everything flees. That doesn't mean that we're not still battling things, that there isn't still places that we need to grow in our understanding or things that we're still coming out of, you see. But sometimes we get into the mode of, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And if I'll just stop this and I'll just stop that and I'll start doing this more, you see, here we are at the beginning of the new year. And what do we do. We set up New Year's resolutions, which I'm all for. I think it's great. What we're doing is really shifting our focus and saying, how do I need to get refocused here? However, we cannot set up these things in such a way that it's like, okay, well, if I'll stop doing this and I'll start doing this, everything is going to work out. Let me tell you something. The darkness doesn't leave because of you. The darkness leaves because of Jesus Christ in you. So the more you get of Jesus, the more that darkness is going to go. You see, it's not about you being better and stronger and all of this. It's about getting more of Christ. If you just begin to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, I need so much of you that the darkness just runs. See, the more you get of Jesus, the more time you spend in his presence, that darkness is going to flee itself. All I do is soak and soak and soak in the presence of Jesus. And do you know what? He simply pushes the darkness away. You see, my appetite for the things of the darkness goes because when I'm filled up with him, all of a sudden those things leave. It's that simple. It really is that simple. I was a hardcore legalistic woman of God. I was born again, full of God, loved him so much. My heart just was just, I just had a love for God that he put in me. But do you know, I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to do everything that I thought would please him. And I spent all this time doing these things and pulling away from things. Boy, when Chris and I first got married, And I got saved, I went in our house and I literally went through that place. He was at work one day and I literally went through that house and I grabbed anything that I thought was not of God. And I took it and I dumped it. He came home to a different house. In fact, he was like, where's my stuff? And I was like, that stuff is gone. We're not keeping that no more. You know, and I got super, super legalistic, you know, and I got really hardcore. And everywhere I went, I was just hell, fire, and brimstone. You better get your life right going to hell. You see, I was intense. Now, I loved God and I was doing it because I loved him, but I had not yet got a revelation of the Father's heart. Do you understand this? So I was moving as I best knew how. And so when we get a revelation of the Father's heart, you see, all we'll want to do is just draw near to the Father's heart. See, once you taste it, it's all you want. And so it just causes me to come after him like never before. And as you sit at the feet of Jesus and you just keep soaking in his presence and getting in his word and getting to know him, I'm telling you, you're going to get so filled up, the appetites of the flesh will leave. That's what happens. I didn't have to get rid of them because he dispelled them. Yes, he says crucify. We have to crucify, put to death the deeds of the body. However, you know how we do that? Drawing close to the Father, drawing close to Jesus and Holy Spirit. And when we just keep soaking in him, all of a sudden we can have the power we need to put those things to death. It's wonderful. Boy, we could just wrap up right there. Just go find Jesus. Just set at his feet. Just find time with him. Set everything else aside. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all other things shall be added unto you. Everything you need shall be added unto you. I'm telling you, all you have to do is seek him. It's that simple. And everything else will take care of itself. I believe that with my whole heart, Monica. And so I'll tell you this. When I was seeking God, and I was doing all the legalistic things, okay? I was very legalistic, and I was doing all the things that I thought were pleasing to him, and they were right, and they were good, but I didn't have the heart of the Father. Let me tell you where I came to. I remember sitting in my hallway. We had a little floor furnace, okay, one that was on the floor, you know, and it was cold that day, and I just scooted down the wall, and I just sat down by that little heater, and I was just staying warm there, but I remember just weeping, and I just came to this place where it was like, God, this is not enough. I just came to this place where all that I had been doing and all that I've been striving for, it ran dry. It ran dry. And I believe this is why John begins the first miracle of Jesus. Remember? The wine ran dry. See, something was shifting. John was revealing something. The old covenant was passing away and a new covenant was coming in. But before you can fill a vessel with something new, you got to get rid of the old. You see, when I slid down my wall that day and I began to weep to God and say, this isn't working. I'm tired. I don't have any more. I'm just at my end. You see, I was getting to the end of something. And I believe it was a day while I was weeping, God was rejoicing. He said, thank you. It's time. Tammy's come to the end of herself. She's realized this is not going to work her way. She's finally empty. She's finally came to a place where that stuff has run dry for her. Legalism has run dry. She's tried it and it's failed. And so now I can finally fill her with the new wine, which is myself. He said, I can begin to fill her to the full. And she's going to tap into something that will never run dry. Ooh, gives me chills just thinking about it. Because we are filled up with something that will never run dry. Do you know when I slid down that wall that day? And I sat there that day and cried. And I said, God, I'm just tired. And I'm so miserable. Do you know when you live in legalism, you're absolutely miserable. And guess what? You make everybody around you miserable. Okay? You make everybody miserable. I was miserable and everybody around me was miserable. And I just sat there and I thought, God, there's got to be a different way. Now, let me tell you what happened. I got up from that place and I began to go into a place where I began to compromise. See, I began to still go to church. I was still even teaching. Okay, this was when I was teaching and stuff. And so I was teaching, but I began to compromise. And all of a sudden, I began to drink again. I began to use curse words again. Instead of being legalistic, I became on the total opposite where I was, what's the opposite you want to call it? I can't even think of the word. But I went to the far other extreme. And I started just going into places I shouldn't be going. And guess what? That place didn't satisfy either. You see, because even in that place, I wasn't finding God. I was not tapping into God. And so I had to come to that place so I could begin to see those things were all running dry. Everything was running dry. The only thing that was going to satisfy was drawn near to the heart of the Father. And John tapped into this. I used to think like this. When you read the Old Testament, okay, for example, I want you to see right where we're talking about in this verse. Look at verse 4. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. One of those meanings of comprehend is to understand. However, we know in this verse, when you look deeper, what that word is actually meaning is the darkness can't overtake the light. Okay, but what is happening here is John is unveiling that Jesus is the light. He goes on to say, I'm not the light. Jesus is the light. So John was the end of the prophet era, okay, meaning the prophet of the Old Testament, Old Covenant. He was the last, and Jesus said he was the greatest, okay? But he said the person that comes in the new kingdom of God, the new covenant, is greater than John the Baptist. That's what he said. John the Baptist was the greatest, but anyone in the new covenant is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because we could be born again. John the Baptist didn't have that. But John the Baptist was revealing something. He was revealing that Jesus is the light. So what he was revealing is that all the Old Testament prophets that we can find ourselves, you know, just running to and seeing God as judge and this harsh God who's going to come down on everybody. And there is a time that God is going to we're all going to stand before him and give an account. But you have to understand the prophets of old didn't have the revelation of the Father. Grab a hold of that. Jesus was the light. That means up until the point that Jesus came, nobody had the light. Nobody had the light. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, they didn't have the light. They had the truth. See, they had the truth. But they didn't have the light. See, truth without light still leaves us confused. Truth without light leaves us in a place of darkness where we're not really grabbing a hold of it. You see, we had to have the revelation, which comes from the light. See, the light comes on and you go, oh, remember when Jesus began to unveil, he was walking on the road. We call it, I think, the road to Emmaus. And he was walking with the two men on the road after he had resurrected. And he begins to explain to them all of the Old Testament, the prophets and the words that were spoken. And what happens is they go, ah, we get it. You see, they could not get it before. They had everything that they were saying, and all of it was truth, and all of it was good. But it was Jesus who would come and bust it wide open. It was Jesus who would flip on the light, and they'd go, oh, that's what it means. That's what it was about. And so John is unveiling something. This is why I love John's book, man. It's not John's book. It is John's book, but he's really revealing Jesus's revelation in this book. He's revealing Jesus. He's revealing the Father. And so Jesus is turning on the light, and now we can begin to understand the truth. And so that's what I really want to look at today. He was, verse 7, it says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through Jesus might believe, okay? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Oh, man. Okay, think of this. A lot of times when someone is born again, we say, I saw the light. Okay, we refer to, I saw the light. Okay. However, you have to understand that Jesus is pointing to something. Listen, I don't go out and look at the light. If I go out and look at the sun, it's going to blind me. Okay. You cannot look at the light. The light is coming forth to show something. The light is helping you see where to go. The light is opening up the path. The light is helping me see. And so Jesus said Jesus was the light. Okay, so you go out and what does the sun do? I don't look at the sun. The sun is showing me the way. The sun is unveiling where to go. And what is Jesus pointing to? Jesus is showing the way back to the Father. We could never get to the Father. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. He is the light that is opening. He took all the Old Testament truth, and he shined the light. So now we could begin to get the revelation and see where to go. It was pointing to the Father. The Jesus has taken us back to the Father. And John tapped into this. I believe when he was sitting there listening to the heart, he was listening to not just Jesus' heart, but he was listening to the heartbeat of the Father. And so when I used to read the Old Testament, I was hardcore. Okay. That's why I was hellfire and brimstone, because I had not yet got a revelation. There is a hell. Guess what? There is fire and brimstone. There is all of that. But God wanted me to get his heart so that then when I release the truth about the hell that is really out there, I can release it from the Father's heart. Do you understand that? Because sometimes God gives me a word and it's a hard word. And I say, I need your heart on this. If I don't, I will literally just preach from the angle that is the harsh truth. But God, truth is to be released in the love of God. And when it's released in the love of God, it can bring revelation and it can bring transformation. And people can grab it and really be set free. Otherwise, we just produce cold-hearted servants of God. But God is looking for sons who carry his heart into the world. Jesus was a son of God. He was the son of God who carried the heart of the Father. And I want to carry the heart of the Father. Okay. So I want us to just look at this. What time do we need to pray? We're probably getting close to time to prayer, aren't we? Okay. So what I want to do is it's just say that God is helping us see that he wants us to have his heart. Yes, we have the truth. He said, many of my children have the truth. And they're running around and they are beating people with the truth. They are hammering them with the truth. But he said, I need my people to get my heart so that they can give the truth in love. He said, and when you release it like that, change can come. He said, I'm looking to bring sons into the kingdom. I'm birthing forth sons and daughters. He said, I don't need servants anymore. He said, if I get sons, let me say it this way. Sons obey out of love. Servants obey out of fear.
Come on.
Do you see it?
Come on.
Sons obey out of love. See, when you become a son or a daughter of God, you no longer are fearful. See, what did he say? He said, you know, children, he said, we'll cry out of fear. But he said, when you're a child of God, you truly come into sonship is what we want to call it. When you come into sonship, you cry, Abba, Father. You grab a hold of the Father. Servants come and obey out of fear. They're fearful. And he says it when he talks about that passage. He said, perfect love casts out all fear. It's time to come into the fullness of the Father's love. We need love and truth. He said there's a group, and I used to be a part of it, that are hardcore on the truth, and they don't have the love of the Father. And it's wounding people. And he said, then there are those who have the love of the Father, but they have no truth. And they're wounding people because they're leaving them. They're abusing them. See, truth without love is abusive, but love without truth is just as abusive. And so God said, I'm bringing a balance to my body. I want the truth and I want the love of the Father to come together. They're to kiss one another. They're to meld together in one another. And when we get that, we walk in sonship and we can walk in the place where Christ walked. And we can see lives transformed because when love and truth meet, I believe the glory of God is revealed. The heart of the Father is revealed. Let's pray.